calling to order the San Ramon Planning Commission meeting for March 1st. Roll call, please.
Planning Commissioner Benedetti.
Here.
Planning Commissioner Patel.
Here.
Planning Commissioner Wallace.
Here.
Vice Chair Marks.
Here.
Chair Kerger.
Present.
Thank you.
Okay. Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Trubridge, will you please lead us? I bet you've never done that, have you?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. All right. I don't see. I don't see any speaker cards for public comment. If there is anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on an item not on our agenda tonight, please step forward and fill out a green card. Otherwise,
Chair Kerger, I think there may be one in the pile, in the stack. A gentleman is on Thunderbird Drive. The reference is the golf course.
Oh, Joe Norton. Hi. Well, it didn't say. How are you? Please step over there.
Obviously, first time here.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Joe Norton. I live at 9467 Thunderbird Place, San Ramon. It's a little cul-de-sac that backs onto number 8 of Royal Vista Golf Course. It'll always be Royal Vista, by the way. The neighbors seem to think that I know everything because I'm a real estate broker, what they don't know. Two questions for you. I've heard from a council member that it would take a 4/5 majority of the Planning Commission to change the land zoning to convert Royal Vista to housing. So that's my first question. Is that true? And then the second and last question is, has anything been proposed by the new owners of Royal Vista Golf Course to develop it? Thank you.
In answer to your first question, yes. Yes. In answer to your second question, no.
Great. Thank you very much.
And please do me a big favor and tell people in your community, don't worry, don't gossip, don't spread more rumors. Because until there's something that's happening, they will be the first to know.
Thank you. There's some people that are blogging on next door. They're just out of their minds.
It's the 15th.
Right.
The 15th hole I'm hearing.
Right.
Okay. And that is spreading all over, including to other golf courses, which I happen to go to for lunch. So people are saying to me, is it true?
Right.
And no.
Thank you very much. I will pass the word
no,
out.
No, thank you for coming.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate it. We hope it gets in the blogs. Yeah. No. You know those crazy things. Okay. Please stay and enjoy what we're doing tonight. Okay. The next item is additions, revisions, any?
We have none tonight.
Okay, we go to consent calendar. Minutes of the February 16th regular meeting and special meeting. Okay, come on.
I move approval of the special and the minutes of the regular meeting as well of February 16, 2016.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to abstain because I don't know.
Okay, and one abstention. Thank you. Okay, that being done, we now go to, we're going to drop down to 9.1, public hearing, Bright Horizons Child Care Center. Mr. Barr.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Have a brief PowerPoint presentation, after which I will be available for questions. The applicant's here as well to answer any questions you might have. This is the Bright Horizons Child Care Center, 2603 Camino Ramon, otherwise referred to as Bishop Ranch 3. Here's an aerial of the area. The property is zoned as mixed use, general plan mixed use. There are two areas that we're dealing with, a tenant space within the office building, as well as a outdoor play area that's currently a utility area with landscape and a little storage building that will be retrofitted for an outdoor play area associated with the daycare. So the tenant space that they're taking is approximately 18,000 square feet. The play area will be about 8,000 square feet. The proposal is for up to 204 children. This will be based on community care licensing and occupancy standards. There's also, as part of this, they're contemplating food service, so there would be a kitchen associated with this particular facility. They're looking at 11 to 12 hours per day anticipated, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., but those are, it's an anticipated time. It'll be based on actual demand and need of the parents working in Bishop Ranch and the surrounding community. There's approximately 38 and a half staff positions, so we'll call it 39 for practical purposes, and those are teaching and administrative positions. Just in terms of a little bit of background, Bishop Ranch 3 consists of four office buildings and two parking structures, along with surface parking and landscaping. Originally developed as administrative office and then rezoned to mixed use. This particular proposal is an effort to provide daycare services in proximity to employment, which is consistent with some of the underlying goals of a mixed-use concept, being able to consolidate activities, reduce trips, and provide services. In terms of CEQA, we did a categorical exemption for this particular application, renovation to an existing building and minor alterations to ornamental landscape. So that's covered there. Public outreach, we did standard mailing 300 feet from property owners within 300 feet and then interested parties. So here's an aerial photo looking toward the west from over Iron Horse Trail. So you can see the portion of the building. It's only the ground floor that's being taken in this case, and then the green is the play area adjacent to the parking structure. Here is a site plan, and you have the full-size plans in your packet. This is showing the relationship between the tenant space and the play area. The blue dashed line shows how the access will be between the two spaces, and then there's some layout of individual rooms and how that will be set up. All of that will be subject to building permit approval and occupancy approval. Here's a blow up of the play area. It's broken into different spaces for different age cohorts, user groups, I should say, however you want to refer to them. And there's some amenities such as play equipment, landscape sensory garden, as well as artificial turf and all weather surfaces for tricycles and the like. In addition, the area where the play area will go will result in the removal of approximately 25 trees that were planted as part of the Bishop Ranch 3 development. The applicant did include a tree removal permit as part of this. We're particularly concerned with four of the trees, which are native species. They were planted as ornamentals, but they're actually the live oaks, so they're subject to the replacement ratios and mitigation that goes into a tree fund citywide. Or they could plant on site if they wanted. But in this case, Bishop Ranch 3 is already heavily landscaped, and so, you know, 4-to-1 replacement doesn't make sense in this situation. We took the play area to the Architectural Review Board for comment. The board looked at some of the issues there, raised a few questions regarding the potential for heat issues with artificial turf, but they were generally confident that the applicant could work through those design questions, and so they were more advisory statements, did you look at this sort of thing? Ultimately, they recommended approval, provided it meets the needs of the applicant, as well as the requirements of community care licensing. And so the recommendations were more food for thought than anything else. Here's the parking and circulation relationship here. As part of this application, we are flipping a parking and delivery area. So the new parking area will be adjacent to the building to allow direct access for the parents dropping off kids. The delivery area will now be across the drive aisle. The access from the pedestrian is through a crosswalk over to the play area. And in the staff report, as well as the project description, there's some discussions about how the protocols for getting the kids across the street, the use of walk ropes and buggies for small kids, and it's always supervised access to a secured play area. There was also a traffic study and parking study done for the project, which is an attachment to your staff report. It looked at level of service, traffic generation, parking, queuing. In all, there were no significant issues associated with this particular application. Because daycares are considered sensitive receptors and we have an air quality component in our general plan, we took a look at sensitive receptors in relationship to this proposed site. There are no stationary sources of pollution such as generators and things within 1,000 feet of the play area. We did do also the roadway modeling based on the air quality management district's tools, and there's no issues with exceeding thresholds for this particular site. Therefore, no additional analysis or mitigation would be warranted. We also looked at safety and security considerations. I think it's important to note that the applicant is very aware of the concerns associated with the daycare. They've operated many of these facilities. They're not new to the process. So I just wanted to highlight a few things. There is the direct access from the parking areas, which was a result of this proposal. There is a dedicated entry to the building, so they have better control over people coming and going. The fence play area, the crosswalk procedures that they've been working on, and the signage related to that. Community care licensing has been very involved in both the requirements for this, and they will continue to do reviews, periodic reviews of the operation, as will San Ramon Valley Fire Protection District. They do annual inspections just like for any other business, and they'll be involved in the permitting of the tenant space. Our crime prevention program took a look at it. They had no concerns regarding the proposal. And then I would just add that Bishop Ranch has their own security programs. And so it's been a fairly thoughtful process regarding safety and security. So the recommendation tonight is that you receive the staff report, open the public hearing, take public testimony, close the hearing, and provide direction to staff. If it's appropriate, we provide you a resolution for your consideration and approval with conditions of approval. And with that, I'm available for questions. And as I mentioned, the applicant has information as well.
Does anyone have any questions of staff before I open the public hearing? Okay.
Lauren, my question is really relative to condition 42, which is from the fire department. They had a concern that the rooms, as expressed in the Bright Horizons letter at the very bottom of the page, the rooms, many of them had one exit, and the number of students or people per room exceeded what the fire department would recommend relative to rooms with one exit. Has that changed? Has there been a change here in the plan that now meets the fire department's concern?
Yeah, this is a more of an advisory statement from the fire district. Any type of facility like this tenant improvement has to go through permitting and has occupancy concerns. The architect's been working with the fire district to resolve the questions regarding the occupancy type. I could defer to the architect to give a statement of where they are in the process, but ultimately they either need to find a design solution that allows them to get to the occupancy they are applying for, or they will be limited through the building permit process to the occupancy allowed based on building code, which would be the 10. And so in either case, they're not going to be able to exceed what's allowed under code. But my understanding is that they have been meeting with fire and have resolved the code questions.
Okay, so just to clarify, a building permit will not be issued until such time as a resolution that is satisfactory to the Fire Protection District has been found?
Correct. Our permits are, they have to get separate fire review prior to our building permit issuance.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to piggyback on the safety issue a bit. I was surprised that we didn't have anything from the police department in written form. And I'm kind of curious as to, number one, why we didn't have it, and why I think it's important is that it should be part of the record, the written record for the project. So.
Well, I can speak to verbal conversations I've had with crime prevention. They had no particular concerns regarding this application because of who the applicants were, the community care licensing oversight, fire oversight, as well as the security programs that are already in place in Bishop Ranch. And that's about as far as I can go in terms of what their response to me was from the DRC review.
Well, and I'll talk about it later, because I do have some concerns. All right. Commissioner Battelle, do you have one?
I do.
Okay.
Can you, Lauren, clarify for me? I'm still a little confused on the crosswalk procedure. I mean, I see that you're saying that the applicant will address that, but is that I didn't see a specific condition of approval for it in terms of, you know, any markings on the parking lot itself or any other protocol specifically related to that.
As part of the plans and in the parking study, there's some information regarding specific signage that would be required. In their project description, they spoke about how they cross and the use of these walk ropes. I would actually defer to the applicant to explain their procedures. They can probably give a little bit more detail, but it is chaperoned, two teachers or administrators at a time, taking people back and forth, and again, there's signage provisions that have been proposed as part of the application. Community care licensing, this was a question that we had very early on in the process, and so we asked them to confirm with community care licensing that this would be an acceptable configuration, because we shared the same concerns that the commission's having. And through the ongoing meetings that the applicants had with them, they indicated that it was an acceptable configuration and that there were adequate protocols in place based on their business plan and how the license would be issued through the state.
It's just, you know, it just seems very unusual to have that kind of crossing in a parking lot, and most people who are in a parking lot would not expect to see kids walking back and forth. And is there anything that would lend itself to having some kind of crosswalk specifically designated as the travel path on the parking lot itself?
It is a designated crosswalk.
There is one there?
It is currently a crosswalk.
Okay.
It's just not there currently aren't little kids crossing the street with teachers, but it is a pedestrian circulation as it is today.
Okay. I didn't see that specifically, so that's good if it's there.
At the ARB meeting, I'm sorry, Donna.
I just want to know if she's
I can answer
I'm
your
good.
Question.
Thank you.
And Commissioner Marks.
I just wanted to point out that this issue came up at the ARB meeting as well. And the way it was discussed there by the applicant was that anytime children are crossing the crosswalk, they will be escorted by adults. So it won't be children walking by themselves.
Right. Thank you for that clarification. I still feel strongly that there should be something designated as a cross path. And so if you're saying that it's already there, because again, I mean, it's just the cars that are coming, it's, they won't know that there, this is a designated cross path.
Well, so. It is currently a pedestrian crosswalk. It will have new additional signage that will help with identifying that. But, you know, it is a matter of safety crossing any parking lot for anybody, you know, and the teachers are taking on the responsibility of making sure their students are safe in this process.
Was there any discussion about the flashing pedestrian lights that we see in some of the communities? Because that's one of the things that I have written down about safety.
The concepts come up. We haven't conditioned it. It hasn't seemed to be warranted at this point, but the applicant can speak to whether they'd be willing to consider that as an alternative.
Okay. I have two other things for you. Public outreach. You know how I am about public outreach. 300 feet. Okay, so that's the building.
It's
basically, right?
Majority of the properties were Bishop Ranch.
I know. Okay, I just want to make.
But I guess the question is, what is the right radius to go? A quarter mile? You know, it's in the middle of Bishop Ranch.
Well, no, I know it is. But so. And more than the outreach part is just to make more people around there aware that it's happening, which is probably to Commissioner Battelle's concern about children walking in the, I mean, the notice would help, I'm sure, in addition to the signage. Well, I'm just curious. It didn't go outside of Bishop Ranch is what I'm saying.
No.
Or asking. Okay. The next thing about air quality, the playground is not far from the transit center. The transit center has buses. So I guess I'm concerned more or less about the emissions.
We took the daily bus trips that are associated with the transit center and scaled those trips into the roadway capacity.
Okay.
If you look at that little piece of Executive Parkway extension, it's a very lightly traveled road, but yet we analyzed it at a 20,000 average daily trips, so we far exceeded the standard of what's there.
Okay.
And that's based on the bus generation rate.
I'm just addressing this so that if anybody reads the record and the minutes, I'll see that those issues were
happy
covered.
Happy to explain
okay.
what we did.
All right, great. Anyone else? Okay, with that, I open the public hearing, and the applicant.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Danny Toole, and I'm a project manager in the construction and design department at Bright Horizons in their corporate office in Boston. And we're excited to be here. We've been working on securing a center in Bishop Rayland San Ramon for 3 years, and we think we finally found the right place at Bishop Ranch. Bright Horizons operates about 70 child care centers in California, about half in the Bay Area, and locally we have centers in San Francisco, Santa Clara, Berkeley, Dublin, and we have representatives here who can talk to the operations of those centers. I'd just like to introduce our team, and once we do that, we can open it up, and they're the specialists, and they can answer a lot of the questions I think that are coming up. We have David Bauer from Corporate Realty, and he's the local project manager who's really in charge here. We've got Arthur Furukawa from Saba Architects, and he's the project architect. Carrie Martinez is the regional manager, and she manages 5 centers, including the center in Dublin. We also have the Ariana Andrade, who is the Dublin center manager. We've got Ott from Hexagon, who's done all of our traffic, and Rob Elliott and Tom Duffy from Bishop Ranch. So with that, I will let Arthur come up and start answering some of the questions, more technical questions regarding the project that you may have. But thank you again for the opportunity. We're excited to be here.
Thank you.
Lauren, I think since we have your thing up here, I might just toggle between a few. Is it just these little buttons?
Yeah, just up and down.
So thank you again. My name's Arthur Furukawa. I'm the architect. I've worked on probably 20 or 30 Bright Horizon centers in the up and down the West Coast and a lot with David Bauer. So we're very familiar with the issues that come up with these centers. And I think Lauren had given a pretty good overview of, you know, where it's going. So I don't think I need to repeat where, unless anyone is kind of confused with where the center is. Are we pretty clear the orientation? Okay, so I think, you know, maybe what I would do is just kind of look at a few of the items that were brought up, questions that were raised. I think the first one that seems to have been the primary, we've heard the most comments about is how do you safely cross the street? And I think, you know, it's obviously a concern for any parents, a concern, you know, for Bright Horizons as a business. You know, nothing's worse for business, you know, than if something happened to a child there. So, and having many centers, they are familiar and have very good procedures in place. And just as a little background, like each classroom has two teachers associated with it, and there are more students under each teacher as they get older. And so as they cross the path here, you have, if their infants are going over, they're carted in special buggies where they're in the thing, and in any case, for any class, you have one teacher in the lead, one teacher at the tail there, and, you know, that go into the cross to make sure that once they start crossing that it's safe to go through. And then as the children get older, they have these, as you saw the picture earlier, with the hands on the ropes, and they're guided through there in this careful training. But, and to Commissioner Patel's comment about the crosswalk, it's actually in a, you can kind of see it the way it's rendered here, it's in an alternating pattern brick, you know, so you have the asphalt of the parking lot and then this here. But, you know, just because there are so many concerns, we'd like to, we do feel that the recommendation to install some sort of flashing element, and we're investigating it now, whether it's, you know, the lights that flash in the ground or a sign that flashes there to alert, you know, people that might not be familiar that their children's there. So we'd like to follow that recommendation and include that in our project. And just so you know, it's not the only center where this kind of thing happens. It's not the standard, but it's not like they've never seen this kind of thing before. And I think, you know, just looking at a few of the other just questions that were brought up before in the report, you know, I think the second thing was about talking about the landscaping, the artificial turf, and the heat associated with that, and whether that's the right material. And I think there's a couple things working here that, you know, one, this is a standard material that Bright Horizons uses, you know, probably throughout the country in their centers. And the reason they do use the synthetic turf is that it allows for play value all year and doesn't, when you have a rain, cause it to get mudded out. And, you know, so for those 30 days or 60 days a year, you can't use the playground. So we think it provides more play value. Also, this particular center is really in the shade of a structure here. So you've got kind of a four-story structure here. And as the sun tracks around in the later part of the day, a great amount of it is in shade. And so we're not super concerned that that is an issue because they have, I'm sorry.
No, after you finish, I have a comment.
And then just some other things. These little squares here are shade structures that are in each playground. So there's an area in each cohort group, each age group for shade there. And then I think maybe the last thing is, you know, before I started doing child care centers, I always associated the artificial turf with all the black rubber and stuff coming up. And so they don't, for obvious reasons, we don't use that type of thing where the black gets a lot of the heat from the sun because the kid, sorry. kids will eat the thing. So this is a turf without any of that. So I think it is does not get quite as hot. But so
that was kind of my question, because I'm also involved with soccer, and mm-hmm. so you want to talk about turf fields. Talk to me about soccer and how hot they get, mm-hmm. and all of the stuff that comes up with it. So explain to us yeah. in more detail about exactly this type of turf doesn't hold as much heat.
Well, you know, the black rubber, you know, particles and crumbles that are in the thing, by the very nature, absorb the heat, the color, mm-hmm. and takes more of the heat. And those are used for impact resistance and to lower the... So in our centers, there's none. We're not relying on that. There's none of that infill in the turf. It's just the fibers of the grass.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's... And it's... you know, we really have used it very extensively, and it's not... And just to remind you, maybe if I...
Is it used at the Dublin facility? The same...
center, they used grass, but which maybe hasn't... The growth hasn't been that successful. In Sacramento, I guess you have it.
Okay.
Turf, and all the other centers in the Bay Area, I think, are turf.
We do have the turf in Sacramento as well as Dublin.
Yeah. Well, you need...
You want my card?
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to have to speak.
Oh, of course you would. It's okay. Thank you.
There you go.
Just identify yourself.
Carrie Martinez, regional manager with Bright Horizons.
Okay.
We do have the turf at our a center in Sacramento, as well as one in Davis, where it does get very hot for long parts of the day for a lot of the year. We don't have it at our Dublin location. We did start that center with natural grass, which has not grown and has actually been quite a nightmare. And we're hoping to replace it at some point with the turf. But we do have protocols with the turf, making sure that it's not at a really hot temperature before the children come out. On days that are really, really hot, 100 plus, we generally aren't outside because it's too hot for the children to be out there anyway. So we have indoor spaces where we can take them to play.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, let's see, maybe the, should I just go through the ARC recommendations? I think there were some, let me see, the other ones I had here were, the flashing lights, and I think there were some questions about garbage on the property and, you know, maybe having some protective band at the bottom of the fence so things wouldn't blow in. I think for, you know, I haven't been to Bishop Ranch that often, but it's pretty clean. I think they're fairly, you know.
Yes,
so,
we pride.
Yeah, unlike the downtown San Francisco Center, or the one we have at Kansas Street. But so I don't think we're, and also the teachers, I think as part of your protocol is when you bring them in, that there's kind of an inspection of the site done, you know, to make sure there's no cigarette butts or, you know, sometimes in our real urban ones there are, you know, worse problems than that. But so I think, you know, that we don't feel like that's a critical part or necessary to do there. I'm not sure if you folks agree. And then I think, you know, in general, just to speak for our whole team, the list of conditions of approval we are totally on board with, so we accept, you know, all of those. And like I said, there are other people that are more expert in running a child care center here with Carrie and Ariana. If you have any questions of us from how it operates or something, please feel free to ask me or one of them. I'm sorry. Oh, the fire department. Oh, okay. So do you want more?
We'll probably go back, but yeah, if you could talk about the fire department.
Yeah, I can explain that because I think it sounds more alarming in that thing than it is. So at the risk of, I try not to get too technical with it, but.
Arthur, you're going to have to stay close because I'm not sure they'll be able to hear you.
Oh. Okay.
When the recording.
Oh, the recording.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
You didn't tell me this was being recorded.
Well, yes, you are.
There were three comments on the fire one, and like I said, they were will all be have to be cleared, you know, in order for the permit to be issued. The first one was a general cautionary one about doors opening into a pathway of travel, and both Tom Duffy, who's a construction project manager for Bishop Ranch, and myself have met with the fire department twice. You know, we've had like a 45-minute meeting and another conference call to go over these issues, and I believe they are in agreement that it's fine. But so there was that condition that he was mentioning with the door doesn't exist, so we're fine. The second one was about electromagnetic locks and that our childcare occupancy doesn't allow those. And we did find out one condition where that occurs, which is, I guess, the doors that lead out of the lobby here are electromagnetic. And we had one supplemental door out of the center that would have led children out here and have to encounter an electrically magnetic locked door. But so we decided there that we would take out this door. We don't need it because we have a main exit here and a main exit here, and they're satisfied with that resolution. And then the final one about the two exits from each room, we in fact do have two exits, and we kind of went over the code. So if you kind of look, let's say these two classrooms, for example, there's a corridor system that has a 1-hour fire rating that runs through the whole center. So from this classroom, here's one entry and exit is this door. And the second entry and exit is through the kiddie bathroom and through this other room here. And that is, you know, per the code, that is clearly allowed. You know, we went through the code and say, you have to have one exit that's directly out of the room, and another exit can go through and associate it in an adjoining room and out again.
Safety.
So I believe we're covered there. And, you know, of course, we were concerned with that. I think we've met with David Stevens, like four different people there, and they're on board with this. So I think we're fine. Any other questions about technical building things or operations?
Anybody have any questions? Commissioner Benedetti.
I have two questions. At any time did you discuss with staff or the ARB whether or not strategically placed speed humps in the approach path to the crosswalks would be warranted in this situation to actually slow cars physically down rather than just having flashing lights?
I don't think that came up there.
Okay, I'd like to consider that. And then the second is, obviously we're not privy to your lease agreement, but is Sunset Development obligated to amend as necessary all the environmental permits to accommodate your development, and in particular like the stormwater plan, because the outside play area is, I assume now, part of their stormwater plan, and so since there's improvements made to it, you're obligated to submit such plans, but in theory it's the property owner's plan. So are they obligated to do all that for you?
Yeah, so they, you know, I think under there's, and tell me if I'm speaking on the site development permit. So there is a separate permit that's working its way through a site development permit where the landlord basically clears this area of the incidental structures and other things. They've submitted that for review, and I believe all those stormwater calculations and other things are associated with that permit.
Great. So, thank you very much. That answers my questions.
Anyone else? No?
Okay.
No more questions?
Thank you. Can I ask one? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry to be late.
No.
I was just trying to clarify again. So that play area, is it actually removing certain parking spaces as well in that aisle there? So there's parking adjacent to it, and then there's that it's extending into the parking lot area?
Right.
Yes.
Well, do you,
I can answer if you like.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And there are currently electric vehicle charging stations at that location that are being moved further down the drive aisle to the upside of that particular area. But yes, it is encroaching into the parking lot area.
And so those parking spaces that are being lost, was that, I didn't see anything about that in the analysis. So.
There is an analysis in the traffic study as well as in the staff report. There are spaces being lost, but there's also a surplus of parking spaces in the actual parking structure. One of the dynamics with this particular office complex is that there's a lot of competition for the surface parking spaces, but there is several hundred surplus spaces in the parking structure. So the applicant's being conditioned to park their employees in the parking structure, leaving these other spaces available for drop-off, pickup, and just normal day-to-day operations within the area.
Right, and I think that's I saw that, and I think that was really a good idea. But I just wonder how many spaces specifically are they losing, because I didn't see anything.
I believe it's 23. Does that sound right?
20 is something right around there.
Not losing, only using.
Well,
23 spaces will be removed.
Count
will
the dedicated drop-off stuff.
With a surplus of 242 on site still.
Right. So I have a procedural question for Lauren, actually, or any of the staff here. But so there was an original development plan that was approved, right? So I don't see as a part of our action items here an amendment to that development plan, because there's a modification for the landscaping and the parking plan that was probably with the original development. Is that something that procedurally we need to address?
It depends on the scope of the changes. In this particular case, we're not significantly altering the circulation. The land use permit is a mechanism by which you can review these alterations. The same way we didn't have a formal architectural review application for the play area, because it's not typically a public landscape improvement. It's intended to meet the needs of the actual applicant. So from a land use standpoint, it's there. These are just minor alterations that we would typically review even as part of a administrative permit outside of a land use permit. But because they're coupled along with it, you review the package as a whole.
Okay, thanks.
One more.
I have one more question of the applicant. In looking at the drawing, I noticed on the north side it indicated that the fence was 6 feet high. Does that include the portion that abuts the parking garage where the gate is? Because that fence there that's currently there is not 6 feet high.
Yes, if you drew a line around the whole green area, everything on the perimeter is 6 feet high.
All the way around. Great. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Anybody else?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I do have a couple of questions. How many children are going to be in the playground area at one time? How is that decided?
That's decided by community care licensing based on the square footage there. So we would not have all 240.
No, I understand that. I mean, but you're going to have like the two-year-olds, and then you're going to have the toddlers, and then you're going to, so it's one classroom at a time, correct?
In each section.
Each pod will have, okay, and each, just so I understand, each one, it's like 45 minutes?
30 to 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For each class.
And there is two adults?
Per group of children.
Per group.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. I just have issue. I want to ensure that because it's close to the transit center, you have people that work in the building, you know, and I just want to make sure that those needs are met, the safety needs for the children, and they're locked into the playground when they're inside, correct?
Yes.
So nobody can
get in.
Come and go.
Correct.
Okay, girls. Okay. I really encourage the lights, the blinking lights. That is a, I think it's a good idea. Okay. If there are no other questions, I'm gonna close the public hearing. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what is your pleasure? Comments, suggestions? I'm gonna open it up. Let me just say, I'm really impressed with it. I'm impressed with the whole concept. One of the things that I find good about things like this is the people that you deal with, and you have the luxury of dealing with people in our community that believe in the best of the best, and they are always able to put a shine to whatever they develop and they build. And I'm very, very proud of that. In the many years that I've been here, I always find that they're willing to go the extra mile to make sure that it's a good project and people are taken care of. And more importantly, they really have a good feeling and take children into consideration. So I think you're in good hands, even though it's not Allstate. But but I think you're in good hands. So, Mr. Marks.
I really don't have any comment about the project. I like it very much. I think it's the right use in the right location. I really have a question for staff about one of the conditions, and it's a condition I just haven't seen before. It's condition number 16. Prior to issuance of a site development permit, the applicant shall pay a creek study fee of $1,500 per developable acre and a drainage mitigation fee of 30 cents per square foot of site impervious area. Again, I haven't seen that on some of the projects that we've done before, where, in fact, as an example, we approved a development on raw land which had a parking lot. So I'm just wondering, why this one? Why not other ones? What am I missing?
They have been included. I think about 6 or 7 months ago, we basically did a generic condition that just referenced all the fees that they would pay, but didn't specifically call out the dollar amount, just for ease and things change. Engineering is in the audience. They can answer the question, but this is probably one of the only fees that, just looking quickly, that they probably will be required to pay that needed to be called out separately.
So it was included before, but written just a little bit different than this.
Yeah.
Okay.
But engineering can answer the question specifically.
That's okay. I just wanted to understand why this. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Commissioner Benedetti?
Yeah, I want to follow up on that. Thank you for bringing up that condition, Mr. Marks, because my question is, what is the developable acre? Is it just the park? Because the building is the building. So is it just the 8,000 square feet of the outside area and any parking that's being restriped? Or I just want to be clear on the record what is constitute developable acre.
It relates to the change in impervious surface that's happening as a result of the play area. While part of the play area will be pervious and allow water to drain through, other parts will not. And so the fee will be prorated based on the amount of impervious surface.
Perfect.
Added.
Perfect. Thank you. And I have comments about the resolution if we get there. So I want to have there are edits. Do you want to take those now? Are we decided we're going to?
Well,
I'd rather give my other planning commissioners opportunity to ask questions. And
I don't see any other lights lit.
Okay. Then I just have a few comments that I caught. On the first page 1 of 11, the last whereas, the last word in the first row, I think, should be including rather than included.
Sorry, which page?
Page one. Last whereas.
1 of 11.
1 of 11.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It was talked about the striping and how there really isn't, well, there's one condition that kind of dances around this restriping of the parking lot, and that would be condition 31 of the conditions of approval on page 9. But I would like to see on page 2, the whereas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the whereas, to say the
page 2 of the resolution.
Yeah, sorry. To say the project traffic study dated and put the date, because it's really referencing the hexagon traffic study.
I'm sorry. That would be page 6 of 11.
Page 2 of the resolution. Page 2 of 11.
All right. Okay. How is it going to read?
To reference the actual project traffic study dated, I think it was January 21st, 2016. And there's a reason why, and I'll get back there when we get to that page. But on page 5 of 11, which is Exhibit 1, the first page of the conditions of approval, I think the first line after the parentheses with the limited use permit number in it, I think the 2 should be stricken. It should say allowing. Might read a little better.
Number 2.
No,
I know.
Condition 1.
Yeah.
The word 2, T-O, should be deleted and say...
Allowing.
Yeah.
Anew. Okay.
On condition 21, which is on page 7 of 11, it says, I just wanted clarification as to what is meant by any damage caused to the subject property, its structures or landscaping, or other improvements caused by the project. What is this a commonly worded, I'm not sure is what other damage.
That was 20.
Is that like if they knock over light poles or do that kind of stuff? I just want clarification.
Delivery truck crushing a curb, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So that it's can stay.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. The other piece about the drainage and stormwater, I've already asked and had it on the record that Sunset Development would be amending their stormwater control plan, so I'm okay with all that. In regards to condition 31, the first condition under traffic engineering on page 9 of 11, this kind of addresses why I was recommending we put the date of the traffic plan in the whereases, because I'd like to see something added here in regards to that the signage and pavement markings at a minimum be as presented in the project traffic study. Because I think that's where a lot of the details are in regards to the signs, how the parking is being relocated. Otherwise, this resolution and conditions of approval are kind of silent on it other than referencing plans.
So how would you like it to read?
At the end of the second line, but not limited to.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, but not limited to, so features such as all pavement markings and signage, comma, as at a minimum as presented in the project traffic study to facilitate safe vehicular and pedestrian movement. And staff can play with those words, but to insert at a minimum the signage and striping as indicated in the project traffic study.
Dated.
Well, no, because it's already in the whereas. Okay, whatever. Yeah.
At a minimum.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my only other last question is in regards to condition 42 and the fire department's letter dated January 27th, to me, it's outdated. It's being attached to these conditions as an exhibit, and things have already been resolved. And so to me, as I read this, it was really confusing as to this letter from the fire department and the conditions, because the applicant has explained tonight that those issues have all been worked through, but yet it's being attached as an exhibit to the conditions of approval.
But that's where their concerns were, correct?
That was fires.
And yeah, that's theirs.
Fires.
And I think when you see the final document, you're going to see the corrections or the adjustments that were made for their concerns, correct?
Well, the proof will be when fire signs off on the permit. I mean, that's what they have to do. And until these conditions have been met, which they believe they've satisfied those conditions.
So you won't change the date? No, this shouldn't be changed.
I mean, it's...
No, right? No.
Through the chair, if I might, the fire district comments, they're advisory to the commission. We have absolutely no authority on how to enforce them. So they're more informational, and the commission has asked in the past that we provide these comments as a matter of the record, so you understand what things may need to be worked out and can answer ask the questions that you have done so tonight.
Correct.
But so the more informational, we put them in the conditions of approval if the applicant's aware of them, but as you've heard, and with all of our applicants, we have them work with the fire district, so we know that they may have concerns, maybe some fine-tuning to do at the end, but at least you know the concerns that were raised when we evaluated the project from day one.
And more to what Lauren says, when they sign off, those conditions are met. Their concerns are taken care of. Okay.
Just procedurally, for my knowledge, so I don't have to ask this again in the future. They're being referenced into the conditions of approval, so in a sense, they become enforceable by the under the land use permit, because they now are an exhibit and part of the land use permit.
That is correct.
Okay.
We require their approval before we can issue the building permit.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much. That's all that I had.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Wallace, do you have any concerns?
I don't have any concerns about the project itself. I am somewhat still a little bit perplexed by the discussion of condition of approval 42. If it's being part of our conditions of approval, it seems to me to be a condition. If it's more of a requirement that the applicant meet the requirements of the fire district through the building permitting process, then I don't know that it really should be a condition of approval. I'm not a big fan of putting information-only statements in conditions of approval. So unless we're actually adopting these as conditions, it probably should go out, in my opinion.
Yeah. If Commissioner, you don't have to do that. You can just talk.
I had the same concern that Eric did, and so I proposed a little bit different language leading into this to make it a requirement to work with these conditions. I changed the wording in 42. I took out the first word where it says C, and I said doors, comma, door locks, and room occupancy shall comply with the, and then I continued the sentence, shall comply with the conditions in the San Ramon Valley Fire Protection District.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
That's very good. Those, that works, right? Jeannie, Eric.
Obviously there was confusion around that.
I know. Okay, everybody feel good about that? Okay. Anything else, Commissioner Wallace?
Nope.
Commissioner Marks, anything else? Commissioner Patel?
I have just a couple of little nitpicks. Is it possible to use either child care center or daycare center and not be interchangeable?
We try.
Both in the resolution and the conditions of approval. I think the land use classification is child care center. Is that?
It's actually child daycare center.
Oh,
the
great.
The applicant referred to it as a child care center, and so we went with the applicant's terminology for when we described the project.
All right.
Yes, it's fair point.
Okay. And then on condition of approval number one, and maybe it's just me being really nitpicky, but instead of in the last sentence where it says unless modified, can we say as modified? Because there are these conditions do modify the original plans in certain respects, so, okay. And I think that the concern I've raised has already been addressed in condition number 31 by incorporation of the traffic study, so I appreciate that inclusion of the traffic study in there. So I'm good with everything else. I think it's a great project. Thank you for proposing it here.
Okay. Nothing else? Do I hear a motion? Commissioner Marks?
I will move approval of land use permit 15-500-005, Bryce Elizman's child care center, subject to the conditions that have been amended by the planning commission this year.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, approved. Good job.
Thank you. Really interesting.
How long, when will you start and how long will it take? And they've got the bulldozers around, so.
What time is it? All right.
I know. No, I mean, quite seriously. How soon? Yeah.
Okay. This scenario, they have been just talking like that at the beginning of the school year.
What?
This year, Labor Day this year.
So are we going to have a grand opening?
Probably yes. Not. We will. Probably not for a few weeks after that. But okay. That would be the best case scenario.
Okay. Yeah. I know. They did with the Doris. Yeah, Doris Eaton. I mean, that was amazing. And that was amazing. So I'm sure, knowing how quickly they work. But hats off to you. It's really an exciting project, and more than likely for the people who work in that community are going to find such relief. And you have a great reputation, so I just commend you on putting a good team together and finding a nice home in San Ramon. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I said I'd get you out at 8 o'clock. Look at that. All right. Thanks. Thank you. Okay. There are no any commissioner liaison reports? None? I've got a couple of questions. And the rumors on the golf course was on my list. Do we have an update on the zoning committee? What are you kids up to?
Next meeting is the 16th.
And where are you with it?
At the planning department?
No, I mean, what area are we? What? Are, talk to us about the process
Division
of
two,
what you're...
I think we're working on Division 2.
Maybe I can expand.
Okay.
We did some work with Division 1 initially regarding the rules of interpretation, some edits and minor alterations to that process. We're moving into the second section, chapter Division 2, which relates to land use and density. And so I am currently trying to draft some preliminary language regarding tiered density and outline the frameworks of how we're going to tackle that goal. And we will be talking about that at the next meeting and maybe several meetings after that, depending on how it goes. But we are moving forward with that. There was a little bit of a delay in the process. We changed project managers on this, so I'm taking over. And so
what?
Get back on track here.
as project manager for the update.
Okay.
And in terms of future meetings with the full commission, our schedule slid about a month, so we are anticipating workshops, check-ins with PC and EDAC, a joint meeting in May, followed by a PC ARB workshop in July, and PC workshop again in September. And then at that point, hopefully we'll have a pretty crisp document and we can replan it at that point. You know, if there are requests for updates on specific topics, we have the ability to do that. We've also, as the working group's aware, we've had some discussions regarding signage and the Supreme Court decisions that have come down related to content-based signage. And so we've been talking about whether we need to do a separate effort for that, and we're still working through those questions.
Okie dokie, yep. What's cooking?
I have just a couple things. What's going on with Windmill Farms? One day the whole thing is surrounded by chain link fence, and it went by today and there wasn't one section of chain link fence in sight.
They took it all down.
Okay.
They're trying to be a better neighbor.
Good for them. The second thing is, does anyone know who actually bought the Bridges Golf Course?
No. Yes. I don't.
The name?
Mm-hmm. I heard it was a guy that owns lots of Jack in the Boxes, but I don't know his name.
Yeah.
Do you know his name?
I have it written.
Is it O'Neill something?
No.
Okay.
No. This one is, no.
I heard it was an individual.
I believe he's either Indian or Pakistani.
Okay. The second thing I'd like to ask about, Lauren, you brought up signage and it triggered in my mind. I think we talked about we're doing like an inventory of signs in the city. Are we looking at our signs? Because if you look at, I think it's called PS Professional Building, it's on the southeast corner of Norris Canyon and the Boulevard. There's those Insta signs, you know, the stuff that's made out of plastic, popping up on the freeway side of those build of a number of the tenants. And I didn't think
on the south side of Norris Canyon,
on the southeast corner,
right?
Where there's a jazzercise,
all of those, and there's
on the back side facing the freeway, signage is popping up.
Mm-hmm. We can follow up. We operate on complaint basis only. I mean, that's not part of sign review. Those are code enforcement issues. And, you know, when we do adopt the new sign ordinance, then there's a whole procedure we have to go through of trying to look at signs that don't meet the new code and a whole other process. But that's strictly a code enforcement issue.
Because all of those developments would probably have been built when the county, when we were a county?
Yes, and they have sign criteria that go with each approval.
Okay.
We'll check into it.
Discuss that. After,
I'll check into it.
We've discussed it in the last 10 years. You know, you were asking about bridges, and it's my understanding, talk about rumors, is that there's a contemplating a hotel, like a mini boutique.
Like the golf course?
Yes. I'm saying that is what I'm hearing from people who work there, which is what they're hearing from the owner.
Like a golf course?
Bridges is still zoned park because we haven't, since Doherty Valley is not fully developed, we don't have the authority to amend the specific plan yet. So once Doherty Valley is fully developed under city control, then we can go in and amend the plan and make it golf course.
It's a park. I assume a permitted use in a park is not a hotel.
No, not off the top of my head, I don't think so.
Well,
it may be a use permit, but I'm not sure. I have no idea. So I doubt it too. But
they have a 19th hole.
I know.
It's PD though too. So 10% fair. Yeah.
I tell you, complained there yesterday. The golf course is in very good shape.
Oh yeah.
The bunkers have all been redone and they're very soft sand. So he's not letting the golf course go.
No, he's not. And he really loves what is happening. Mm-hmm. He's got new management in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And a new chef, but he's kept the regular staff, and they're all happy, and they're all excited about it. And I don't know if anybody's been to Canyon Lakes, but they have the pub and grill, and they're supposed to, from what I understand, putting in a mini brewery in there. Mm-hmm. So that is something kind of nice. So things are happening, and while we can't have regular restaurants, you know, those kind of things are really popping up.
That's the opposite for the San Ramon Golf Course.
What?
It's the opposite than the San Ramon Golf Course, which is on a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and there's rumors there too, but that management has not been really moving forward the golf facility itself.
They have a different agenda. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and Crow Canyon used to be no one liked to play there, at least in my circle, because the pro shop was very unfriendly and you only could get a tee time if you called. Now, if you go and search Crow Canyon Golf and Brewery, you actually can make reservations online. So they are facilitating a more user-friendly and accommodating facility, which is very happy to see.
Oh, yeah. Canyon Lakes. Not
Canyon Lakes.
Yeah, not Crow Canyon, yeah.
She said Crow Canyon.
I mean Canyon Lakes.
Yeah. We knew who you were.
Yeah, they're on Golf Now.
They've come into the modern age.
Just a reminder, we'll see everybody tomorrow.
So League of Cities. So if you need to take ethics training, you sign up, you register there on site at 10 a.m.
What's the deadline for getting your ethics training done? Like
every
the end
2 years.
Of the month?
Every 2 years. So you guys probably are March to March because most of you do it at the conference. So if you can't go tomorrow, you can do it online too.
Yeah, but I mean, March to March means by the end of March.
Typically, yeah. But
if you
can't make it, you can do it online.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And probably do it again because Renee sent me the link.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
And then
I'm going in the morning.
You're going in the morning. And so then our mobile tour is from 2 to 4:30. Jeannie is going to assist Lauren in walking folks over to BR 2600, meeting at 142 at the Marriott, if you'd like to join them, I've been told. So if I'll need to register you guys for the mobile tour on site tomorrow when I go by. So we'll take care of that. But if you guys don't want to walk, you can just go straight to BR 2600. It's up to you. It might be raining, so it's whatever you guys would like
That's
to
Thursday.
Do.
Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday, I'm sorry. Thursday.
Thursday. Thursday.
This week is so crazy for me. So that is Thursday. And you also get a tour of City Hall.
Yeah.
As a part at the end of it. So up to you. If you're walking, bring an umbrella. It's supposed to rain. So just in case, yeah.
Well, I don't know what's happening on the McHugh property.
They are in for retaining wall, McHugh, Ryan's project.
Yeah.
Wall and some, I think they're doing some landscape revisions as
yeah.
well as a condition of AFB, or no, planning
commission. Yeah.
Okay.
They are. I understand Walgreens will be pulling permits next week.
Thank God.
So.
And Wendy's?
Still in plan check from what I understand.
I have one more thing.
Okay.
Funny you bring up hydrogen station. I was at a legislative policy green low carbon fuels conference in Sacramento last week, and the lady sitting next to me on the panel was from the Air Resources Board, the group that she's stressing how the progress on siting hydrogen stations is you know, they're connecting the dots, and the latest one was San Ramon.
And you said I had something to do with that.
Did you? Ironic that
it is a small world.
It really is.
It really truly is. Well, I hope to see everybody in the next few days at the conference. Thursday.
Tour.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that being said, this meeting is adjourned.